hello and welcome in again to the Worship Life Podcast with Mike Harlan. This is your co-host, Brian Brown. This is Music City, USA. Check local listings, but in the Northern Hemisphere, it's summertime. But it is beautiful here in the B.B. McKinney Studios. No clouds, not a cloud in the sky, 72 degrees, clear. The B.B. McKinney Studios, always a lovely place to be.
And you know what? What we love about being in Music City in June is it's not yet scorching hot.
Right.
But we're in that kind of a pleasant time of year.
Now, our listeners down in Argentina and Australia, it's winter time for them. But in this part of the world,
that's true. Beautifully summer, and we are
thrilled.
And you know what? We'll send this invitation out there. Anytime one of our listeners is coming through Nashville, all they got to do is let us know. Write to us at worship@lifeway.com.
Right.
And we would love for you to stop by and see our new facilities. And Brian, you'll buy them lunch.
Absolutely. I'd be happy to get your credit card and do that, Mike. Mike, last podcast, we had a special guest, Daniel M., and we were talking at that podcast about worship specifically in new church plants and some of the great resources Lifeway has, newchurches.com, to do that. But we decided to bring Daniel back because we wanted to talk about the music and worship in a totally different type of setting, one that might seem similar in some ways, but is different in some very special ways. And that's worship in the multi-site church, I think is what we're going to talk about today with Daniel.
Right. And I appreciate, Daniel, thank you for giving us another part of your day to be a part of this this second podcast with you. If you did not hear the first podcast, you have my permission to hit pause right now and go back and listen to it first, because in that, Daniel goes into quite a little bit of a discussion around his ministry experience and his perspective. And it's an amazing perspective, literally on several countries, nations, that you've had this perspective of being in new churches. But Daniel's a part of the leadership team here at Lifeway and developing leaders, the leadership pipeline, and all of that work. And then the website, newchurches.com, is a wonderful place. If people haven't seen that. And I've got to add also at the beginning, No Silver Bullets is a book that Daniel has gotten such great reviews and response to, giving a lot of perspective about shifts in church and how churches' ministries can change, whether planning or being revitalized, et cetera, et cetera. So, Daniel, welcome back. Thank you for giving us another part of your day.
Man, it's good to be back in the B.B. King studio.
It's not
B.
quite.
B.B.
I'm joking.
I'm telling you, these young people today.
They don't know.
They don't know about B.B. McKinney.
Should we sing a couple of B.B. songs right now for Daniel? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Okay, all right.
They're in the hymnal.
So, Daniel, here's something that, you know, our president, Dr. Rainer, talks about trends all the time. Yeah. He researches what churches are doing, writes about it. Rainer on Leadership is a great podcast he's part of. Dr. Rainer has said for a couple of years, one of the trends he's seeing is the revitalization of churches, but also the multi-site ministry. And that's something you're paying a lot of attention to and putting a lot of energy around. So I want to talk about the multi-site ministry as it relates to worship.
Yeah.
So give us a little bit of your perspective of how you got into this aspect. I know one part of your own ministry experience is multi-site, but help us have a good conversation to those churches that are listening who may be considering a multi-site ministry plan or a revitalization ministry where they're going to extend other. So let's talk about what are the good questions they need to be asking right now.
Yeah. So part of it is, what does everyone think when they think multi-site or hear the word multi-site? Because it can mean a lot of different things. Some people might go all the way back to Satellite Willow, or they might think Life Church. And a lot of times people, when they hear multi-site, they think video preaching oftentimes.
Yeah.
A lot
That's
of times
true.
People
yeah.
don't think of the worship side. It's just video preaching is often what comes up the most. Now, when Village Church decided to set their multi-sites, or, you know, develop a plan to set their multi-sites as church plants, and a few months before that, Tim Keller retired and Redeemer Church did the same thing, CT called up and they asked if they could interview me on this and what I thought about
CT.
Christianity Today. So Christianity Today asked if they could ask me my thoughts, because of newchurches.com, we focus on church planting and multi-site. And yes, you have these larger ministries. You have these ministries that might even, a lot of times, have their own worship CDs and worship bands, which I'd love to talk about as well.
And what
that all entails. But you have a lot of these churches and you're like, well, is multi-site going to continue to grow? Is it not? Has it hit its peak? And the interesting thing is, with the recent Trump election, right, rural America has really risen up to prominence.
Yeah.
Obviously, the media is a lot, you know, centered a lot around the urban city centers.
Right. Yeah.
But if one thing that this election has positively shown all of us is the power of the rural area, and we can't neglect rural America.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm Canadian, rural Canada as well. So one of the things that we've done is we've taken particular notice as to what multi-site looks like in rural settings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So when you look at urban setting multi-site versus rural setting multi-site, I actually see a lot more multi-site growing in the future, a lot more in the rural areas than in urban settings.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the rural area, think about it. If you're in a neighborhood or a maybe the county is 10,000 people, but your little township is 1,000, you might have one vibrant church that's been planted, or maybe it's been revitalized, right? Yeah. It's the First Baptist Church of Podunk or First, you know, wherever that is, right?
Is. Yeah.
And there's a thriving church of 1,000. Maybe they have... you know, we don't necessarily have to go into the details of what that church looks like, but let's say that church has faithful preaching, vibrant worship. They're reaching into the community, they're reaching the lost, and they have a there's a 30 minute away community of 500 people that would never be able to sustain a full time pastor or their own church.
Yeah.
And even the First Baptist Church there is dying out because everyone's moving away. It's the brain drain and all that.
Yeah.
Well, what we've seen is these churches, these vibrant churches in areas of 5,000 or 10,000 or 2,000, they're actually planting campuses.
Oh,
not planting churches,
but
planting campuses into these areas of these townships of 2,000, of 1,000, of 500, and seeing new people come to Christ as a result of this ministry.
Yeah. Well, I've got a personal story about this, and I really hadn't thought about this until you just described that scenario. My home church, the church my mom and dad are still part of, my brother's in it, my sister-in-law, nieces, nephews, my whole family's in this church, is in a place called Corinth, Mississippi, northeast part of the state, a town of about 15,000. Mm. So it's not a huge urban center by any stretch of the imagination, but it is surrounded by communities that have 200 here, 70 there, 300 here. And they all come to Corinth because that's where Walmart is. And that's where the grocery stores are. And my dad was a grocery store guy. These people would come from these rural communities and they would come to the grocery store and buy enough groceries for 3 weeks because they weren't going to be back. And they live 20, 30 minutes away.
Yeah.
And they don't have churches in their area. Well, my home church, Oakland Baptist Church, is starting campuses.
That's awesome.
In these places where all these people live, and they're having great success, and they're seeing people come to Christ, and it's pretty exciting. And my brother is on one of the teams that's going to start one of those campuses.
Oh man, that's awesome!
And so I'm watching. I mean, you're talking about this, and I've got this picture of what my family's been talking about for the last several months. They're about a year into a new campus that's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
That's 30 minutes away from this vibrant church that's in the small little town.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful model that seems to be very effective.
Yeah. And one of the reasons we're seeing this increase, this trend, so to say, is because live streaming has become so much more affordable now.
Yeah.
Right. Even with a GoPro.
Yeah.
And you know, you obviously don't want to just stream it from the GoPro.
Yeah.
But GoPro, you know, connect the sound in, run it through your board. You could do a YouTube live.
Sure.
And I know you guys have done an episode
on
stream or not to stream.
Yeah.
But even if you take a look at that setting, for example, versus what it was 10, 15 years ago, where you probably had to get your own satellite.
Yeah.
Or you had to make sure that you had broadband when everyone was dial up.
Yeah.
So it's just so different these days as to what that looks like. So I guess that's the next question. Does multi-site mean video?
Yeah.
Right. Video preaching. And if you look at the stats, it's about a third of the multi-site congregations are 100% video.
Yeah.
A third live teaching and a third doing a hybrid of both.
So when you say 100% video, are you talking about music too or just the preaching part?
Specifically the preaching.
Okay. So, so these campuses are figuring out music another way.
Well,
what's that look like?
And that's the other variable because in the multi-site, and that's where part of it is, where are we getting the research? What are people asking? A lot of the research has been driven around the video preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But as I've been surveying a lot of these multi-site pastors and churches wanting to do multi-site, I always ask, well, what are you going to do about worship?
Yeah.
And before it was always live music.
Yeah.
But I'm actually these days increasingly hearing people say, no, we're going to do video worship.
Yeah.
And you think the technology has enabled that, Daniel?
perhaps, maybe it's their level of quality and wanting to make sure that there's that same sort of feel in the other campuses. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of doing doing recorded worship.
Yeah, sure.
Because when it comes to the preaching of the word, yes, there's going to be contextual components of it to each congregation as you're interacting. But by and large, it's going to be the same message that the pastor is preparing.
The word's going to be the word.
Exactly. Yeah. But when it comes to worship, right, and when it comes to leading a local body, whether it's 50 people or 500 or 5,000, I mean, it's a different experience.
Yeah.
And if you are a multi-site church who has a worship service of, maybe in your auditorium, there's 500, 1,000, probably not 2,000. There's not many auditoriums like that, but it's packed.
Yeah.
There's going to be a very different feel there than in your first campus of maybe 50 to or 100.
No question.
So that's why I wouldn't be of the highest. I wouldn't recommend churches if they're going to do multi-site. I wouldn't recommend them to live stream the worship music.
And my take on that would be if a campus ministry is doing video worship music, or pre-recorded music in some way but it's not being led or performed live, it's probably the scenario where you would see that would be in a scenario where musicians were not available.
Yeah.
Where there just wasn't any other way to do it. I don't know that very many people would choose that if they had the other resources available. And I think the reasons for that are the very ones you're alluding to. And that is that the corporate expression of worship is something experienced in the room.
Yeah.
And it piping in that from other, it can work to some degree. I mean, I think about live streaming the Getty Music Conference.
Yeah.
You know, Lifeway will be doing that again this year, doing the simulcast. Certainly people all over the world were watching the corporate worship and entering into it. But that was a rather remarkable thing that was happening that almost all churches could never replicate that in a way that would translate in video.
Yeah, so the unique thing about this conversation, especially as it relates to versus our previous one on church planting, when it comes to a multi-site congregation and the multi-site congregation wants to plant campuses, right? And they want to multiply themselves. Mm-hmm. Well, they better have their leadership pipeline in place because you can only pick from the low-hanging fruit so much.
Yeah.
And if you really want to, and it's, you can start one campus by not having a leadership pipeline, but if you want to continue to reproduce, you need a leadership pipeline in place. Well, if you have a vibrant leadership pipeline in place, the beauty of the multi-site context is ideally before you start your second campus, you're going to have 3 or 4 worship teams that are rotating.
Yeah, sure.
Right? You're likely going to have multiple services before you start your second campus, but you're going to have multiple worship teams, not just a large number of musicians, but actually musicians and a worship leader that are a team and they serve together. Well, if you have that setting where a church is 3 to 4 of those teams and you have the right worship pastor casting vision as to why we're starting this campus, well, what you could actually do is when that campus starts, rotate the teams and send them there and say, hey, this is, some people go overseas for missions. Well, this is you guys are missionaries and you are leading this, you are speaking life into this community, singing on, glory and praises to God into that community as missionaries. And your success is not just going in and going out, but success is actually being a part of training up future worship leaders and creating that culture of worship on that
question.
New campus.
You've hit on something that I've believed this with all my heart when I was on church staff, and one of the ways we know of where God is leading us and where to invest is He sends us the resources to do it. It's not just identifying there's a need over there, but it's also there's a need over there, but we've got some resources right here that can address that need. So if I would say to any minister of music that's out there, any worship pastor, any pastor that's listening to this, if you look around your worship ministry and you see layers of leaders like Daniel, you've just described team 1, team 2, team 3, team 4, and you've got 3 drummers and 3 bass players and 3 guitar players and all that stuff. Instead of thinking about how can we rotate this out and benefit even more from all of this on our campus, start thinking about where could I send these people?
Yeah.
and you know what? Here's a real kingdom mindset. Maybe we're not sending people to just the campuses we're starting. Maybe we're calling a church that's got a new ministry that's going, that's not even connected to us, and yet they have a real need.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on a couple of drummers that are sitting in the congregation every Sunday because it's not their turn, and they're over there praying every day, God has sent a drummer to them.
Yeah.
Brian, you know who I'm thinking about now. I'm thinking about Ray Jones, who Community Bible in San Antonio had layers. It was almost like a farm system in a baseball franchise.
He had
layers of acoustic players and electric players and bass players and drummers, and he farmed those people out all over Southwest Texas.
And I think to Daniel's point, that didn't just happen. That was intentional.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're saying about a leadership pipeline. You know, most of my life, I was just happy to have a drummer and happy to have a bass player. And honestly, embarrassingly to say, you know, in this hire it out mentality, I had that bass covered, and I didn't realize a part of that bass player's responsibility was to develop more bass players because I was only thinking about my ministry, my context, my need this Sunday morning, and I wasn't thinking about the larger context of communities nearby who had a need. And so talk a little bit about the leadership plan and how important it is to be intentional about developing new leaders for potential opportunity.
Definitely. So when you think of a leadership pipeline and the way that we have it, and you can go to myleadershippipeline.com is our conference, and you can learn more about Ministry Grid and all the resources we have there. But oftentimes you have volunteers who are leading themselves, and then the next level is leaders who are leading others. And then you have coaches who are leading leaders, ministry directors who are leading departments, and senior leaders who are leading the entire organization. Well, when you think about this, and obviously this is audio, but if you're kind of think of a zigzag continuing to go up, it would look like and it would sound like the goal of the leadership pipeline is progression up.
Yeah.
That if you forever stay at the volunteer or leader level, you are not as good as a senior leader.
Yeah.
But when it comes to leadership pipeline, the goal is not progression up the pipeline. It's becoming more of who God has called you to be.
Yeah, sure. Good.
So when you look at your sound guy, and I know, especially in multi-site churches, I hear about this over and over again. It's like, we have this guy, we're paying him, he's full-time. You know, we have four services, multiple campuses. He's our technical director. And we have asked him time and time again to raise up leaders to run the soundboard. But he just doesn't want to do it. He just wants to be on the soundboard all the time.
It's his turf.
Yeah. Do we fight? Yeah. And don't you dare go.
Exactly.
He even has it where if he has a volunteer, he has the iPad and he can change things on the digital board. Right. I mean, I know these guys.
Yeah.
and so they asked me, they're like, okay, so we're trying to implement this pipeline. What do we do with him?
Yeah.
Right. What do we do? He's not going up. He's not leading. He doesn't want to lead other people. He's just doing this. And it's like I'm pulling teeth every time I interact with him. And what I'd say is the goal is not progression up. It's becoming more of who God has called
you
to
that.
Be. So for him, maybe the goal is for him to just be a better sound guy.
Yeah.
And for you to actually say, for you to actually find someone who can oversee the ministry or take in charge of saying, okay, now, hey, you are our specialist here. Yes, but instead of you having to lead others, you are great at leading yourself.
Yeah.
So just get better at that. What you don't want to do is say, well, you're great, I don't want to develop you anymore.
Right.
Because if you don't develop them, then they're not going to stick around.
Yeah. That's right? So good.
So you have to develop them. And so send them to conferences. Send them to even teach at conferences and teach at other churches. And actually, the whole kingdom mindset. Say, hey, you go and coach these other churches on how to set up their sound.
Yeah.
That is your ministry. And we're going to send you out to do that.
Yeah.
But your responsibility is not to train up leaders. And you need to find someone who then can do
that. That second part is so important.
Yeah.
It is to say, if that guy isn't the guy to lead the ministry, just because he's technically capable doesn't mean you're finished now, that you have a gap, right? You've got somebody in a role that can't develop more leaders. And so now you've identified a gap, really.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's where immaturity in my ministry leadership, I would think, oh, that base is covered, again, to use that terminology. I did not recognize the gap that I had, but because I had someone in a role who was functionally able to do the job but not able to develop leaders.
Yeah, so then the next question is, okay, if I do that and that person is now released from their equipping duties, do I pay them less? Then I don't have money to pay to hire someone else.
Yeah.
And,
and
you know, if you kind of go down into those conversations, on the one hand, you can say, well, do you pay them less? maybe it's dependent on their situation. If you're saying, hey, we're going to pay you less, but when you go and consult other churches, you get to pocket that.
Yeah, that's a great.
So you could, you know, equip them to have a side gig or hustle and say, hey, we're going to help you build this other ministry so that you can do that. So we can then free up finances to hire someone. But if you don't do that, right, there are plenty of second career individuals. There are plenty of individuals who, whether they're in their 50s or 60s and are about to retire, or they're in their 30s and 40s, and their dream was to mix music.
Yeah.
Their dream was to do that, but they just, their parents told them, don't do it because you're not going to make any money.
Yeah.
There are a ton of those guys who love music and are actually great equippers because of their corporate jobs.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, why not equip them to be volunteers? Why do you why do you have to pay them?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? They can oversee. You can have volunteers oversee paid staff. That's fine.
Yeah.
Right? Because it, the when you look at the leadership pipeline, it's not the higher you go up, the more you get paid. Because you can have senior pastors who are part time because they have, you know, they're putting their bivocational. They're putting their money back in so it can hire someone else.
I love that you said that, and I don't want that to get lost on our listeners, that you can have volunteers overseeing paid staff.
Yeah.
I think we've got to start changing our mindset around what ministry is and what ministry leadership is. And that's the boy, what a great
it's good stuff. What Daniel, I'm really blessed. A little full disclosure to our audience about what I'm doing right now. It's pretty interesting. You and I have not had this conversation, but I'm part of Brentwood Baptist Church. I have been for the last 10 years. And I've been one of those volunteers that I lead worship. I teach a life group. I'm involved in multiple layers, and the church has given me every kind of opportunity. And I wasn't ever paid staff that most of the people in the church thought I was.
Yeah.
I had this one sweet lady that kept trying to give me her offering envelope because she thought I was the minister of music, and I'm not. And most of the there are many people at Brentwood Baptist Church that still think I'm on staff and I'm not. I never have been. I've been a volunteer, and yet I've been equipped by the leaders of the church to lead. I've been the leader. I've led all day Sunday at this big mega church, and I was a volunteer.
Yeah.
You know? But Mike Glenn, my senior pastor, about 6 months ago, this is the part you don't know, about 6 months ago, pulled me aside. Our church has a multiplication ministry. We're revitalizing churches, starting new churches.
Yeah, that's right.
And our church was talking to a church about a potential partnership in ministry. And Mike Glenn pulled me over the side and said, hey, you've been so great here on our campus doing what you're doing. I need you to go to that campus and be the preacher. And would you be on the preaching team for this satellite ministry that we're looking at partnering with? And for the last 4 months, I've been the interim pastor.
I
don't have that title, but I've been preaching over at one of our satellite churches, and I'm a volunteer.
That's awesome.
And now I'm not saying that to say, look what I'm doing. I'm just, what I'm saying is this model for some people listening to this, think that if you think this is unattainable for you, you're wrong.
Mm.
This can happen. And there are people, God will send you people. And the key here is developing people. And when you develop people, opportunity will follow. God will send you the leaders and the opportunities present themselves. And then you just create, and you know what? My absence on the main campus in worship ministry, which preaching on the other campus has created my absence, and has now somebody else has come in and doing what I was doing.
Mm.
I mean, it's kind of like supposed to be this way, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, in No Silver Bullets, I have a whole chapter on this shift from moving from maturity to missionary.
Yeah.
And what I share in that in that chapter is, hey, the goal is whether you're a pastor, a plumber, a poet, or a police officer, your first and foremost vocation is not what you do to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
Your first and foremost vocation is to be a disciple that makes disciples, that makes disciples.
That's right.
Your secondary vocation is whatever you do to get a paycheck.
Yeah.
So whether you're on staff or not staff, whether you're paid or not, we all have that same responsibility in our churches.
That's beautiful. Well, Brian, maybe this is the most important thing to say today. We want our listeners to know about the resources and the things that are available to them at Leadership Pipeline, at newchurches.com, Ministry Grid,
newchurches.com.
Daniel's part of that team. And I hope if you haven't seen the book, No Silver Bullets, that you'll find that book and check that out. This is a voice at Lifeway. Been here a little over 3 years, right, Daniel?
Mm-hmm.
A new voice that's speaking at Lifeway, that's helping the church in these critical areas of strategy and being missional from a organizational standpoint, leadership development standpoint, and all of that, everything that he's talking about applies to this area of worship ministry. The worship ministry doesn't just need to be the music thing that happens over there on an island. It needs to be part of the larger strategy of the church making disciples. And Daniel, you're helping people do that. So we're grateful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us today, Daniel. As always, we'd like to hear from you. Email us, worship@lifeway.com. Let us know what you've thought about today's podcast and let us know other topics, other guests you'd like to have us bring in. We'd love to hear your experiences in leading worship in multi-site churches. What have you learned? What's worked for you? What might someone else benefit from? So join us also at our website, worshiplife.com. Join the conversation there. We'd love to see you at some of our events, whether it be the Worship Life event in Gatlinburg that's coming up in a few weeks. It may have already happened by the time this podcast airs, but also the one we've started on the West Coast, Worship Life Riverside. And so in 2019, look for those events. We'd love to meet you face-to-face. As Mike always says, if you come to Nashville, let us know, and we'll try to give you a tour of this beautiful facility. Let us know how we can pray for you and your ministry as well. And as always, we ask you to just review and rate the podcast. And until we get together again, this is Brian Brown for Mike Harlan and the Worship Life Podcast saying thanks for joining us, and we look forward to being back with you again very soon.